let's just review for a minute what we've been doing so far in this subject, so that even though, you know, it's been a while, or so, if you haven't been for the first two, so we could try to sort of jump in at this point. It's a very, very big subject in halacha we're dealing with. I mean, the subject is it seems like it's morbid or depressing, the subject of what we're davening for and who we're talking to when we go to the cemetery. But so many people have asked me this over the years, and it's such a pressing need to understand this most important part, very important part of our lives, that we honor our loved ones and we honor the tzaddikim by going to the cemetery. And this seems to be an extremely, extremely important thing. People go to the most distant places on earth to try to be by either kever avos, by an ancestor's grave, about to go to visit the graves of tzaddikim, and most people, when they get there, they're not quite sure what they're supposed to be thinking or feeling or doing, and it's a very big subject in halacha and in machshava and chassidus and kabbalah. So we'll probably go with this until the summer, Mr. Shem. What we were talking about first of all was the nature. Just a 5-minute review, and. Now I want to thank Zahava and Seth for, of course, for allowing us to use the house, and especially in such short notice, and Bechlal for the wonderful things they do for the shul, and Shad Nachas and Bracha in each room, from the children, more Torah, more Bracha, more Tefillah, and to always be counted among the living and the healthy. So, we were talking about the halachic problem that's called Dorish al HaMesim, speaking to the dead. That's what we began this discussion with, Dorish al HaMesim, speaking to the dead. That most of the Rishonim, most of our commentaries understood that based upon the discussions in the Gemara and elsewhere, that the prohibition of addressing the dead was specifically referring to the ancient practice of using bones of the dead and the skull and all kinds of bizarre practices that were done in the old times in order to somehow bring upon oneself a spirit of impurity, and in doing so to connect to the dead and to be able to see the future and so on. It was a black magic, occult, witchcraft, sorcery type of a thing that was very common in ancient times and in many places of the world to this day. It still goes on. According to that, that whole view, which I'm not going into any of the details now, I'm just reviewing. According to that, there's no problem of going to daven in a cemetery, because first of all, we're not touching, God forbid, the body. We're not using any of the body parts or the skeleton. And also, there are no oaths or incantations that are taking place to arouse the spirit of the dead person. So strictly speaking, that's not an issue. Nevertheless, we saw that all of the Rishon and the post can bring the view of Rabbi Chaim Paltiel from the time of the Gaonim, a very early and important authority, who was actually from the Gaonim, from the time of the Rishonim, was a student of Marami Wittenberg, who said that going to the cemetery, he says, resembles a little bit, in some way, this avera of addressing the dead. So how does Rabbi Chaim Paltiel explain the fact that we find in Tanakh that Kalev, for instance, went to daven in Chevron, and other such stories? So he explains that that's because of the holiness of the place. It had nothing to do with speaking to the dead or having any relationship with those who are buried there. It's because of the holiness of the place where the tzaddikim were buried. So it's a special place, the daven. It has special qualities. Also, the fact that the only thing he says we do find in Chazal is as far as asking forgiveness from the, going to ask for mechila in that place where the person is buried, which according to Chaim Paltiel is not like you're addressing the dead person, but it's fitting and proper that in the place of that person's remains to ask Hashem for mechila by going to that person's place. Nevertheless, There are a number of Poskim who picked up on this view of Rabbi Chaim Peltier, when he spoke about the Chai Adam. He spoke about the Vilna Gaon and his students. The disciples of the Vilna Gaon, till this day, are not really in favor of going to visit the cemetery. It's not a major thing in their ritual. And also the German Jews, the Ashkenaz and the Ashkenaz, the German Jews, also many did not accept this practice of going to the cemetery, with the exception of certain times when there was a time of calamity, God forbid, as Rosh Hashanah will talk about more, for different reasons. And nevertheless, in the Zohar Kaddish we do find, in the Zohar Kaddish, we do find a number of situations where there are individuals, and we're going to go speak about some of the cases in the Gemara as well, where there are tzaddikim who spoke to the dead. And the Zohar does not categorize this aveira, this prohibition of Derish HaMeisim, does not say it's an aveira unless one is talking to a, one is doing, speaking to a corpse of a non-Jew, of Rishayim, of the wicked who passed away. But as far as Jews, according to the Zohar, Jews going to a Jewish cemetery, that awakens within the person a desire to do tshuva, and that the neshamas of the dead will be mevakish rachmim, that ask for mercy upon those who are living in the Zohar. This has a very favorable view about this. Now, in halacha, this also came down to the question, is the last thing we were talking about, is where we're up to. In halacha, this also materialized in the question of certain tefillahs that we have, especially the famous piyut that we say in Slichas, Machnisa Rachmim, Machnisa Rachamenu, Lefnei Barabak, Lefnei Melch Misratza B'demos, Achnisa Demosenu, where we speak to the angels, and we ask the angels to bring our tefillahs and our tears to Hashem. This caused a major dispute among the earlier authorities, because there were those who were shocked by this. This prayer goes back to the time of the Gaon. We were shocked that we would seek the angels to intercede on our behalf, speaking to an intermediary, which resembles, in their opinion, the concept of speaking to the dead on our behalf instead of speaking directly to Hashem. Why are you going to speak to somebody who died? Why are you speaking to the soul of a dead person? Speak directly to Hashem. And we learned a little bit of a medrash on that. There's no reason to go to to someone who is a friend of the king or works for the king if you have permission to direct your supplications to the king himself. And we spoke about the Rambam's opposition, very strong opposition to speaking to any intermediary other than Hashem directly. The Ramban also saw in this, in other words, directing one's prayers to an angel as main type of avodah zarah, of idolatry. The Maharal also was opposed, and he made therefore a correction, an emendation in the text of that prayer, which is not widely accepted by most Jews. Just say the old thing that we find in the Slichas. These were up to. These are the ones who were opposed: the Rambam, the Ramban, Maharal, and others. However, there are other Rishonim. There are other famous commentaries who were in favor of these kind of prayers, and insisted that they were not to be removed and no changes were to be made. There's nothing at all wrong with speaking to the angels, speaking to Malachim. This is brought down in the Shibboleth Halakhet in the name of Rabbi Avigdor Kohen Tzedek. This is also from the time of the earliest Chachmei Ashkenaz, that period of time, 10th and the 11th and 11th and 12th century. These authorities said that we're not davening to the angels. In these prayers, we're not davening. The kavan here is not that the malacha, that we can't speak to Hashem, that we need the angels to intercede and bring these prayers up to Hashem. But instead, these authorities explain, based upon the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Daled, we find that Rabbi Yochanan also addressed the angels in such a way. She hakoma amtsin eskocho milamato, vayilo tsar milamato, she yisayuhu malachi asharis, the vakish rachmim, shlayilo mastinim milamalo. As Rashi explains, simply put, what Rabbi Yochanan says there in the Gemara, the way Rashi explains this, is that this is not a prayer to the angels. You don't want to pray to the angels. And this is certainly not davening. It's not a tefillah. It's just an expression of a person's humility and his feeling of being so completely and totally unworthy that he's embarrassed to directly approach Hashem. And therefore, with that feeling of unbelievable embarrassment and humility, he's asking for he's not asking as an angel to go instead of him, but he's asking for a malach to accompany him, to accompany his tefillah. You know, like a chaperone. I'm uncomfortable, I'm unworthy to go directly into the master of the universe because of all that I've done. Therefore, even though the person certainly believes that only Hashem can answer the prayer, nevertheless, by way of shiftless, by way of humility, he's embarrassed to approach the king directly, and therefore it's not as an intermediary but somebody to accompany him into the king. This concept is supported in many of the Rishonim, and in the Shailos and Shuvos, it's brought down in the Shailos and Shuvos of an early authority called Shemesh Siddaka, where he writes the following: Im malache harachmim umenosam bekach ulamit sanagoria al Yisrael hashuyim mitzaros. We have found throughout Chazal that angels, the malachim, are trying to defend and support and find merit in the Jewish people who are suffering in the exile. In other words, we have defending malachim. We have angels that speak on our behalf, that are like attorneys. And we see this throughout Chazal, that there are angels who are defending us. So therefore he writes, Laman nechta levakish mehem sheyamdu liyamin evyanim ushvelim. Therefore, if we see this throughout Chazal, and we believe that there are angels who are defending us, before Hashem, then why aren't we allowed, why shouldn't we be allowed to ask them to help us and to stand by us in our poverty, in our misery? Why shouldn't we be able to walk in with one of these attorneys and to ask a malach to accompany our tefillahs? We find this throughout Chazal. And the Tshuvas, the Sefer Shemesh Tzedakah, says, how could you find anything wrong with what I'm saying? As long as the person knows that only Hashem can answer that request, and one's heart is turned towards Hashem, and if the Jew believes completely that there's no one else who can answer this request, no one else can grant him what he's begging for, only Hashem, Ha'ona Beis Tzar, who answers at a time of distress. And the angel himself has absolutely no power over you, not for good or not for bad. But to ask the malach, because you're embarrassed and because you feel overwhelmed, to ask the malach to help you in your defense and to bring your tefillah kivyochot to Hashem and to go with, to accompany your tefillah, and this is the view of the Tshuvas Shemesh Tzedakah. Is all coming out from the Beis Medrash of Rashi and Rashi's disciples. Now there is a compromise. So we have these two schools, those who are violently opposed to speaking to any intermediaries, which would mean angels or the souls of the dead, and those who accept those who are great proponents of addressing angels and speaking to the neshamas of the departed. We have a fascinating explanation of one of the great poskim of the generation that preceded World War II. And we're going to read some of that inside in a few minutes. This is a tshuva from the great tzaddik, the Minchas Elazar, who's most famous as the Munkat Sherev. Munkat Sherev, my father was able to see him on many occasions. He died before the Muhammad. He wasn't killed in the war. He died a short time before the Holocaust. He was, not only was he an outstanding and universally accepted scholar, a genius in Torah, he was also a great Kabbalist. He was a great Mekubal. And since this area, since this question in Halakha is obviously crossing over the boundaries of Kabbalah, it's not purely a Halakhic subject. It also requires proficiency in this area of Kabbalah, of the hidden secrets of Torah. We're dealing with souls and with angels. And it's not so clear in the Halakha Sfarim of how to deal with these matters. So therefore, it's particularly wonderful that we have a tshuva on this subject from someone who was equally great in both areas, in the hidden and the revealed Torah, the Michas Avazer. First, let me just tell you outside, before we go, it's a long tshuva, and I only want to do a few parts, but it's so important and so famous, and it's such a groundbreaking tshuva that I felt that we have to do pieces of it inside. But before we go inside, let me just tell you what he's talking about before we get to the point where we sort of join in. The Michas Avazer, the Minchas Elazar ultimately comes out saying that not only is there no Aveira davening in the cemetery, but it's a mitzvah gedola, it's a great mitzvah to daven in the cemetery. But he explains. First of all, he quotes many, many instances in Shas, in the Gemara itself, and different Midrashim, where we find Tanoim and Amoraim, where we find sages of the Talmud, we find Tanoim and Amoraim not just davening in the cemetery. So we said that it means maybe it's just to daven in the cemetery because it's a holy place. But actually we find in the Gemara a number of instances of Tanoim and Amoraim who are speaking to the dead. Not just in a place where there are dead people, but who are speaking to the dead. Just some examples. The Michas Elazar has a whole list of examples. The Gemara in Tanis on Daf Chav Gimel, 23b. The Gemara in Tanis tells us that Reb Mani, Mem Nun Yud, had terrible sorrows. He was going through terrible sorrows. And the Gemara tells us, Ishtatach al Kaved Davu, he went to the grave of his father, Rabbi Mani, went to the grave of his father in Amalek, and he said, Abba, Abba, he called out, Tati, Tati, and he cried to his father about his sorrows. The Gemara says in Tanis Chav Gimel that this Tzaddik went to cry to his father. And he said, he didn't say, in the schus of my father, in the merit of my father, or because of the holiness of this place where the righteous are buried and my father is buried. He said, Abba. He said, Father, Father. And he spoke to his father. Plain and partial. So it's a Feresh Gemara in Tanis. It's a clear Gemara in Tanis Chav Gimel. Another Gemara is the Chagiga, Daf Tes Zayin, page 16b. The Gemara in Chagiga says that Kol Yomav, that Yehuda ben Tabai, one of the great tzaddikim whose name is mentioned in Pirkei Avos, that Yehuda ben Tabai, it says all of his life he was mishtateach, he would throw himself upon the grave of a certain Jew and beg that Jew for forgiveness. He would speak to that Jew. He would speak to that Jew, whatever happened there, it's a whole mice in the Gemara, not to go into right now, but he would speak to that Jew. It wasn't that he came there, and because it was a place of holiness, he would ask for mechila from Hashem. He asked the dead person for mechila, for forgiveness, directly. So that's in Chagiga Tezayim. Then there's the Gemara in Sota, Lamed Dalet. Now, that's the Gemara that's talking about Kolayd's trip, his little detour, when he went to heaven. He went to daven by the Mezrach Pel, he went to daven by the graves of the Avos in heaven, you remember, because he felt that he would be schlepped along in the council of the spies. And because of that, feeling that this was something that was drawing him, God forbid, away from the truth, he went and he begged, even before the whole thing really, he felt this was coming, and he went and he davened by the others. So this, no one can overlook this. Everybody knows this is a famous thing. So the Michas also brings the Gemara, he says that he fails to understand how no one, and none of those who are against davening, those authorities who are against davening the center, how is it they could overlook the exact words of the Gemara? The Gemara says that when Kalev went to heaven, The Gemara tells us what he said. It doesn't just say he went there. It says clearly in the Gemara that he said, Avosai. Avosai, meaning my ancestors. He spoke to them, and he said, Bikshu alai rachmim, I beg of you to seek mercy from Hashem, intercede, go speak to Hashem, and not sell me atzaf mo'adim, that I should be saved from the counsel of the spies. So Mechazal says, why do you need anything else? It says Beferish, it says in the Gemara, that Kolev ben Yefune himself, Kolev, he didn't go to the cemetery to daven, he spoke to the others, he spoke to the to our fathers and mothers, daven, he's working Yaakov, and he spoke to Sarah Rivka and Leah. He spoke to them. It wasn't in the schus of the others. He said, Avosai. He spoke to them directly. It says Beferish in the Gemara like that. The Gemara tells us also in Sota, that Yud Gimel, on page 13b in Sota, a very widely respected expert in Halacha, Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu went to the grave of Yosef HaTzadik before he went to the bones of Yosef HaTzadik, and when it was time to leave Mitzrayim, and he said, Yosef, he spoke to Yosef, the time has come for redemption, right? And then the whole story about how the bones came up, and Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, washed those bones, and he carried them through the desert. But the Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke directly to Yosef HaTzadik, who was dead. And there are many, many such other examples throughout Chazal of not just davening in a cemetery or whether there was somebody who was dead or in the merit of the dead, but speaking to the dead. Then the Michas Elazar enters into the world of the Zohar, and he'll come back to that at the end, but he shows us, it's the Zohar, this parasha, the Zohar and Parashas Achrimos, this week in the Zohar. But the Zohar says clearly, "Ubeshaita ditzterach alma rachme v'chai." That at the time that the world of the Jewish people needs compassion and has to beg for life, when there's chas v'shalom tzaros in the world, "Azlan amoydian leil nafshei ditzadikaya." We must go and inform. It's interesting. We must go, we'll talk more about this at the end, and more in the Hashkaf and Chassidus. We must go and inform the souls of the tzaddikim who have passed away. L'nafshei the tzaddikaya. U'b'choyin al kivraya. And we must cry at their graves. Kedain is arin nafshe the tzaddikaya. And in doing that, we wake up the soul of the tzaddik, who will then intercede on our behalf and pull strings and do whatever he can. So that's Beferish in the Zohar colors. It's a clear Zohar that not only are you allowed to, but the Zohar Dafka says that if there's service, it's the best place to go. It's to go to daven by the grave, to go to daven by the graves of tzaddikim, and speak to the tzaddikim. So the evidence is very strong in favor of all of this. We're still going to have to learn how to do this, and what we're supposed to say, all of that. But the evidence is very strong. So what does the Michas Elazar do with the issues in Halacha? As I said, he was a great expert in the Revealed Torah as well. So let's take a look. You have in front of you the Michas Elazar. There are two pages, Ayin Tes and Pei. Right, and the first page has two sides. So it says Ayin Tes. I numbered them 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, and 3. So on page 1, on the left-hand column, I enlarge it a little. It's much tinier than the original. So this is really like this is the biggest I can get this day on the page. So let's learn. You see, it says Vegam b'Maharil. But it's underlined over there. So this is after Michazal's work, like dozens of Gemaras and Zohars, where we see people talking to the dead. So now he has to explain. So what's going on? So he says, "V'gabem Ha'aril He says, even though the Mahariel was that's not the Maharal, it's the Mahariel. Even though it was one of the great Chachmei Ashkenaz, even though the Mahariel was reserved and was not thrilled with trips to the cemetery, so the Michal Salazar explains it's not because he was concerned with the Isser, with the prohibition of Doresh Al HaMesim, of speaking to the dead. That's not what bothered the Mahariel. Because the Michal Salazar says it's absolutely not a problem of Darish Al HaMesim. There is no problem of speaking of that Isser, of seeking the dead. That is purely reserved for what we spoke about before Pesach and what I reviewed tonight, that is talking about using incantations and all types of superstitious things to the bones and so on, the ways of the sorcerers and soothsayers, but it is not what we do. So he says that's not an issue. Mash cause of Maharil Shlo Yosim Megamoso Negan Hamesim. So what did the Maharil, what did he mean? What was he talking about when he wrote that one should not place his hope in the dead? Shlo Yosim Megamoso, in other words, that your objective, the objective of your prayer should not be Negan Hamesim to the dead.
But didn't we just see in many Gemaras that I brought Shashamu Pneim Negat HaMesa, they in fact did speak to the Mesa, say Abba, Abba, Father, Father, help me, right? That they did go speak to the dead. Vomar Abba, Abba, right? V'chein v'kol lev shoma avos ha'olam, avos ha'bikshu l'rachmim. After parentheses, v'chiyotzei b'lushon ha'shavesi, and many other Gemaras that I brought. So what did the Mahariel mean? Mahariel says, you're not allowed to daven to the root. So he said, Ella, she says, therefore, Vadai, it's certain, that Kavanas HaMahariel, that the intention of the Mahariel, what the Mahariel is talking about, to Lo Yosu Magamaso Shahames Yoshio, that this is what he meant, that you should not give your, Magamaso means you should not place your hope in the dead, that the dead has the ability to save you. Only Hashem can save a Jew. You can't think that you don't need to. Remember, we spoke at the very beginning about that the main point in, one of the main reasons of going, that's why I wanted to stop that. One of the main reasons of going to the cemetery is that it causes a person, it has a very strong effect upon a person to do tshuva. You know, you think about where you're holding and the tachlis of life, and you don't live forever, and so on. So the whole point of that is that a person should realize that there's not some sort of hocus pocus. I can just go to some tzaddik that died to take care of me. I have to make an accounting of my life and to try to improve my life. But what my real was worried about is that people are going to begin to think that they don't have to keep Shabbos or do mitzvahs or change their lives. They could just connect to the soul of a tzaddik, or a grandparent, a great-grandparent, or a parent or something, and they'll take care of me. They'll take care of me. Be'ezekach, there's over vade, avon, plili. Minchas Lazar says, but that's certainly a terrible sin. That's certainly a terrible sin. You can't do that. Go on all the way down, believe the parentheses. No, we'll go right after the little parentheses. No, it's a long parenthesis all the way down. You see, to where it says Ukshimavakesh, you have to go down around 25 lines, and it says Ukshim after the end of the parentheses. It says Ukshimavakesh Mehameis, Shiamlitz Tovado Hashem is brought Mishmei Mala. But if you are going to the cemetery and you ask the dead person that he should go and present your case, you should go on your behalf and please put in a good word, Takarish Baruch Hu, Mishmei Mabu Vadai, he says, certainly Gama Ma'aril Moda, certainly Ma'aril himself would agree. Dein Chash. There's nothing to worry about, that's perfectly okay. What do you think? The Mahariel didn't know all these Gemaras? The Mahariel knew all these Gemaras that people want to speak to the Tzaddikim. But certainly Kolev did not believe that it's up to Avraham Avinu to save him from the spies. And nor did that tzaddik, nor did Ramani think that if he goes to the grave and says Abba Abba, he called out to his father, that his father could on his own change his son's destiny. No, but that the father could, that the father could cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, or could bring the son's tefillahs to Hashem and push the tefillahs through, as we'll see much more about later on. That certainly even the Ma'aril would agree with. He would agree. That's what the Ma'aril meant when he said that they should not, that one should not place his trust, his hope, and his faith in the dead themselves. But to speak on your behalf, to act as an attorney, to defend you, there's nothing to worry about. Your day is simin ratio design. Move the shach from simin kufa and tesef kunt as well. Kosev b'shem chuvus malach paltiel. So he brings this that we spoke about earlier from Yichaim Paltiel. Alan nodrim leilach lebeis akvois k'sasa yanira kedorish alameisim. Now Yichaim Paltiel is the one who they're all bringing down that said that if you go to the cemetery, then it's a little bit like this aveira of speaking to the dead. The Kalev should establish how Kivri Arvus is Paulus from the Mokum Kedusha. And Kalev only went to Daven there not because he was speaking to the dead, but because it was a holy place, like going to Shul. Kadesh Tia Tfilos and Neshmas, because Tfilos prayers are heard in a better way from a place of holiness. So he wanted to go to a holy place, and that was the cemetery. It's very important to choose the right place where you daven. So he says, "Akan l'shon ma'arach v'habach sosam daito v'kosev shekvar chizikul b'minhag zeh." In the end, after the Bach brings this view of Rabbi Chaim Paltiel, the Bach himself says, "But look, the masses already. The custom of the Jewish people is that they do go to the cemetery to daven. That is the custom." And the Bach says, and there is support for the lenient view, for this view of going to the cemetery to daven. There is support for this view that's found in the Zohar. To go daven when there's tzaros, so that there shouldn't be tzaros, and the schus of your ancestors who are buried in this place. Not only that, but the Bach says that there are already little siddurim, little booklets that they have, complete with tefillahs, with all kinds of prayers that should be said in the cemetery, which we still have. It's called the Mana Lashon. There's a famous, there are booklets that you can, that if they have in them special tefillahs that one says at the cemetery. And the Bach writes that no rav should come along and prohibit Jews from doing this. Even though we have a view of Rabbi Chaim Paltiel who is against it, nevertheless the Bach says that it's supported by the Zohar, and a rav is not allowed to stop Jews from doing this. The Michal Zelozer himself writes, I'm in wonder. I'm very, very shocked by this view of Rabbi Chaim Paltiel. And I haven't merited to understand what he's talking about. It's a nice way of saying it. I don't get it. This view, where Rabbi Chaim Paltiel says that the only reason that Kalev went to heaven was to daven in a holy place, that's the Moshe Machpel is a holy place, but not to speak to anybody. It would seem from that Rabbi Chaim Paltiel is trying to prove from that you're not allowed to speak to the dead in the cemetery. It says clearly in the Gemara, like we discussed before, that Kalev directed his words to the ancestors, and he said, "Avos Olam, ancestors," meaning Zaydis and Babis of the universe, of the world, which means the, you know, the Avos, our fathers and mothers. He spoke directly. He said Avos Ha'olam Bikshulei Rachman. Bikshulei Rachman means I'm asking you, I'm speaking to you to go to seek Hashem's compassion. And he spoke to the Caliph, spoke to the Avos and the Imos that they should go intercede on his behalf. And not just to go daven. It's not just even to daven here because it's a good place to daven.
Now listen to what the Mechazos says. In the time of Rabbi Chaim Paltiel, that was in the early generation, Shlo Nigla Oz Odena Aleim Or Sefer HaZohar, the light of the Holy Zohar was not yet revealed to them. Now we're getting ready for Lag BaOmer to celebrate the revelation of that light. So in the time of Rabbi Chaim Paltiel, meaning 10th, 11th century, that time in history, the light of the Holy Zohar had not yet been revealed to the public. It was only kept hidden and known to a few, and was handed down only to a very select small group of tzaddikim. It was only later on, of course, in the 13th century, that the Zohar became known to the entire Jewish people. The teachings of the Zohar, there were bits and pieces that were circulating, but the Zohar as a whole was not known. So the Mechazos says, Shame is a klal, and it's clear in the Zohar, that we mentioned before, Shame is a klal mishum b'dor shel ha'meisim, that there's absolutely nothing wrong with speaking to the dead in the cemetery, and that's absolutely not a violation of this iser, of this prohibition of the Torah of talking to the dead, or trying to conjure up the dead. V'gami ha-gemara poskim nira kein ka-zohar. Not only that, but from the Gemara, it seems the pshat is like the Zohar. Can this give a shapir hisig of a bach la-halacha? V'chenhevi ha-shach. And therefore the bach was correct, the Mechazos says, in supporting the custom of Jews to go to the cemetery, and that's what you find in the Shach as well. There's no question that the Bach was also nervous. The Bach and the Maharil, they were nervous about Jews going to the cemetery. Why? Because if you don't know what you're doing, instead of doing a mitzvah, you could be doing an aveira. Because God forbid, if you think that the dead have some independent strength to carry out your prayers, then instead of doing the mitzvah, you got to be entering into that shady world of what the Rabban said is similar to idolatry. So you could understand why there were, even though they didn't agree with Rabbi Chaim Paltiel, and they held that there's nothing wrong with to the tzaddik who died, or to the ancestor who died, but you have to know how to speak and what to speak, and if you don't, there could be problems. Therefore, we find that the Bach was also not thrilled, and the Maharil was certainly not thrilled. But the Bach says, but let the Jews continue going. That's the custom, and don't stop them from going. But the concern was that there would be, that a person would make mistakes, and he wouldn't know what to do there. He'd say the wrong thing, which many people do. And we'll talk more about exactly what to say, but you already see the difference between it either being a great mitzvah or being, God forbid, an aveira. Now, the Bach did say over there that when you're in the cemetery, you should daven in the merit of your ancestors. He didn't say you should daven to them, speak to them, he said in their merit. So it sounds like the Bach is saying that the Bach in principle agrees that with Rabbi Chaim Paltiel that you cannot speak to the dead, you can only daven in the cemetery in the merit of the dead, in the schus of those who are buried here. So the Bach is very reserved. But he's allowing the custom to continue, but even then the Bach is saying that you should daven in the merit of the ancestors, or in the merit of the tzaddikim who are in the cemetery, but not to speak to them. So the Mechazos says, Since I have proven from the Gemara
I proved from the Gemara that this is certainly not the case, and that you see that you are allowed to speak to the dead, and from the Maharil that you are allowed to speak to the dead.
We do see that they asked the dead to help them.
That they should go and intercede.
Not only that, but the Bach himself, we read a few minutes ago that the Bach said that there have been already booklets that are printed with prayers to say in the cemetery. Now, that's called Manaloshan. You can get it in any Jewish bookstore.
In that Manaloshan, there are definitely tefillahs that are addressed to the dead.
Now, the Bach himself says, and you know, they already printed booklets that are being used. So the Bach is so strong against davening to the dead, when in other words speaking to them, speaking to the dead, and would hold that you only can daven in their merit, then why does he say they already have these booklets, that everybody's using these booklets and let them use the booklets? The booklets have tefillahs that are speaking to the dead. In those booklets, half of the things there are begging the dead to intercede and to help. And the Bach says, we already have printed siddur.
So obviously the Bach, you would have expected that the Bach should have said that those booklets are absolutely forbidden and idolatrous and you can't use them. And all you can do is to pray in the merit of the dead. He doesn't say that. He allows the use of those booklets. Even though he knows full well what's in those booklets.
The book of the next one is all talking about habit. It didn't say anything that the dead should do for you.
No, this to intercede that. Oh no, there are tefillahs there. Maybe you didn't see all of them, but there are plenty of tefillahs there. Oh yeah. Yeah. There are tefillahs there. I'll bring one in, I'll show you them. I have the Manaloshan. And there are a lot of tefillahs, right? If you go to Rabbi Shem by Achai, there's a tefillah we have from Rabbi Nosson Bestor. It's on the wall there. I would see Rabbi Shem. In Meiron. Have you ever been to Meiron? Mm-hmm. Not by Rabbi Shimon?
Oh,
Rabbi Shimon by Echad. Yeah. On the wall, right next to Rabbi Shimon's scene, they have a big plaque with Rabbi Nosson's best of his tefillah. So, Rabbi, it's all. And we're going to, at the end, we're going to look in best of his sources that, you know, the Shtachus by Rabbi Nachman's grave is a major part of the tradition of the Brest of Chassidim. It's not only Brest of. It's only Brest of. It's by Sfadim and Chassidim of all types. Right? It's just that Rabbi Nachman made a very big thing about that. We're going
to see.
Rabbi Nachman made promises. There are very few that made promises. Rabbi Nachman made a promise for those who go, for those who come to him. That's why, this past year there were over 10,000 people, people are not always able to go, but when a person like that makes a promise, so he said that he'll pull you out by your payas from Ghana. So that includes women, I guess, also. They have payas too, man. So it's a pretty strong thing. We'll talk more about the best of the traditions. I mean, in best of it, we'll learn some of the Torahs in best of. In best of Chassidus, this became a very big union. But Chabad have now the oil to go to Rebbe's oil, and the Shtachus, it began. It's true that the union of the Shtachus is very discussed in the beginning of the 20th century in the writings of the Rashab and others, but it didn't become as big a thing until the Shtachus of the last Rebbe. The Rebbe himself, the only place he ever went all the years was to his father-in-law's grave, right over here, but the Rebbe, right next to the Rebbe. It's the only place he ever went, to the Babish Rebbe, was the Davin there, and he spent the whole day. It became a big thing in the last Rebbe's life. It wasn't such a big thing before in Chabad, as it is by Breslov. By Breslov, the Shtachlis is like, to the Davin by Rebbe Nachman is the biggest thing there is. You know, they leave Yerushalayim to go to Shanti by Rebbe Nachman. So it's one thing if you're leaving, the Five Towns or Poughkeepsie or someplace, but if you're leaving Yerushalayim to be in Uman for Rosh Hashanah, these are not Amaratzim, these are not ignorant people who have been doing this. There's some very great scholars and Yerushalayim, like, many, many great Tamil Chum and Rabbanim go also.
So it needs to be understood by the whole tradition. I mean, there clearly is. They speak to Rabbi Nachman and Feige. And that's part of I was zeichet to be there myself. And it's an amazing thing. So we need to understand what that means. We're going to have to stop here.